Campus Crusade for Christ International is an interdenominational Christian movement committed to helping fulfill the Great Commission of our Lord in this generation. Working as a cooperative arm of the church and with other Christian organizations, our purpose is to help share the gospel throughout the world by discipling men from every nation. Here is Dr. Bill Bright, president and founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, speaking on How to Introduce Others to Christ. This lecture is number 6 in a series of 9 transferable concepts, especially prepared to explain how to experience and share the abundant life in Christ. You may wish to share this series with your friends for individual and group study.
What do you think a person needs to know about God, Jesus Christ, and the gospel before he can make an intelligent decision for Christ? For many years in our various student, lay, and pastors' institutes of evangelism around the world, we've asked these questions of those who participated in the training. And we've asked them to help us make a list on the chalkboard of everything which they feel a person should know before he can make such an intelligent decision for Christ. Usually, 25 to 50 different suggestions are made, all of which are written on the chalkboard. We encourage every person to participate so that every single fact or bit of information that anyone has to contribute is recorded. That list usually includes the following: God loves you, man is sinful, man is lost, God so loved us he gave his son, Christ died for our sins, Christ arose from the dead, he wants to come into every life, God is not willing that any should perish, you must be born again, we must receive Jesus Christ. To as many as receive him, Jesus, to them God gives the right to become his sons. These and several other similar comments are usually made. And after all these suggestions are exhausted, we suggest that each participant read through the Four Spiritual Laws booklet with us and help us eliminate every point listed on the chalkboard that relates to Law 1. These points are then removed from the board. We continue to Laws 2 and 3 and 4, following the same procedure. At this point, the chalkboard is always clean, for the distilled essence of the gospel is contained in the Four Spiritual Laws booklet. The contents of the Four Spiritual Laws booklet began to crystallize in my thinking during summer staff training in 1956. One of our speakers was a Christian layman who was an outstanding sales consultant. He emphasized that to be a successful salesman, a man must develop a clear, simple presentation which he can use over and over again. But then he warned that when a man becomes weary of hearing himself make the same presentation and develops what he called presentation fatigue, he often changes the presentation and inevitably loses his effectiveness. To be effective in our communication for Christ, he stressed, we must develop a simple, logical, understandable presentation of the gospel, which basically we then share with everyone. He illustrated his remarks by telling of several well-known Christians, each of whom, according to him, had his own special presentation. Then our speaker zeroed in on me, saying, Bill Bright thinks that he has something special for each of the different groups of students and laymen with whom he works. And though I've never heard him speak, I would be willing to wager that he has only one basic approach for everyone. He tells them all essentially the same thing. To say that I objected to such a suggestion on his part is to put it mildly. The longer he spoke, the more distressed I became. I resented the suggestion that I or anyone else who truly desires to serve the Lord Jesus were not led of the Holy Spirit to speak with originality to various individuals according to their particular need. And furthermore, I resented his using me as an example before the rest of the staff. So when he finished his lecture and I was licking my wounds, the most serious of which was a lacerated ego, I began to reflect on exactly what did I share with various people. That afternoon, I wrote down my basic presentation, and to my amazement, my friend was absolutely right. Without realizing it, I had been sharing basically the same truths with everyone whom I sought to introduce to Christ. What I wrote that afternoon and later polished is now known as God's plan for your life, a positive 20-minute presentation of the claims of Christ, who he is, why he came, and how man can know him personally. I ask each staff member to memorize God's plan for your life. And we all began to use it in our personal witnessing. The next year, as we concentrated on sharing the simple presentation of the gospel, independent upon the Holy Spirit's power, our ministry was multiplied 100-fold. God's plan was our first written how-to material. That is, material which explains simply and specifically how an individual can arrive at a desired goal, and also how he in turn can help others to arrive at the same goal. The how-to approach is one of the most needed and most powerful approaches to the Christian life and witness I know anything about. We have found, for example, that the average Christian does not need to be convinced that he should be filled with the Spirit by faith. He simply needs to be told how. Similarly, the average non-Christian does not need to be convinced that he should become a Christian. In most cases, he simply needs to be told how to become a Christian. Though God's plan was extremely effective, we felt the need for a shorter version. So I prepared a condensed outline, complete with scripture verses and diagrams, and each member of the staff memorized it. For several years, we wrote it out on the back of the Van Dusen letter, which is another presentation which God has used to reach thousands for the Savior. Then, as more and more people became involved in our training program, it became apparent that we needed to make the presentation available in printed form. Then, the Four Spiritual Laws booklet was born. We do not claim that this particular presentation is the only way to introduce others to Christ, nor even the best way. However, we do know that literally tens of thousands of men and women have prayed to receive Christ through the direct, simple presentation of the gospel contained in this booklet. Approximately 50 million copies have been distributed in the major languages of the world. I think, for example, of an assistant minister whose senior pastor had come to Arrowhead Springs for training and was very excited about the presentation of the Four Spiritual Laws. He went back to share his enthusiasm with his church and with his assistant minister. The assistant minister was turned off by the Four Spiritual Law booklet. He had a dislike for tracts, and this looked like just another tract to him. He tossed it aside on his desk, not even bothering to read it. A few days later, a city official, a woman, came by to inspect the church, he reported later. And as the woman was about to leave after her inspection, it suddenly occurred to the assistant minister that he had not talked to her about Christ. He looked around quickly, and the only thing he saw was the Four Spiritual Law booklet, which he had tossed aside and discussed some days before. He gave it to her, saying, "Read this," meaning that she should read it when she got home. But she misunderstood and began to read it aloud in his presence. She read every word, and by the time she got to Law 4, tears were streaming down her cheeks. She came to the prayer and prayed aloud, leading herself to Christ. And by this time, the assistant was so overwhelmed that he came to Arrowhead Springs to find out for himself how he could become more effective in his witness for Christ through the use of the Four Spiritual Laws. A friend shared a heartwarming experience concerning the effectiveness of this booklet. It seems there was a man who was greatly admired in his hometown, though he was not a Christian. In fact, he was known as the town skeptic and had been witnessed to repeatedly. The parents of my friend had befriended this man, and he felt especially concerned for his salvation. After obtaining a Four Spiritual Laws booklet, he decided to call on his friend and read it to him. And as he finished reading, he asked, "Does this make sense?" The skeptic replied in the affirmative. "Is there anything that would keep you from receiving Christ?" "No," was the reply. The two men knelt together and prayed, and the skeptic invited Christ into his life. When they arose, my friend was rejoicing with the man, who then stunned him with this question. "Is this what you and all the other Christians have been trying to tell me for years?" "Yes," my friend replied. "Well," continued his new brother in Christ, "why didn't you tell me? Any man would be a fool not to receive Christ if he really understood what is involved." The gospel, as contained in this booklet, had cut right through the barrier of skepticism and indifference so that his friend got the true message in its distilled essence. For those who think that the Four Spiritual Laws presentation is too simple, I suggest that you make a list of all the important truths of the gospel that you think should be presented when you witness. Then compare your list with the booklet. You will discover, as I've already demonstrated, that it contains all of the basic truths. Tragically, many Christians have never introduced a single person to Christ. Basically, there are two reasons for this. First, the average Christian is living a defeated, frustrated, carnal life. He is not walking in the fullness and control of the Holy Spirit. Second, the average Christian has never been trained to communicate his faith in Christ effectively. He has never learned how to begin a conversation about Christ, how to explain the gospel simply and clearly, how to lead a person to make the decision to receive Christ by faith through prayer. The first problem is dealt with thoroughly in concept number 2, which explains how to experience God's love and forgiveness. Concept number 3, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Concept number 4, how to walk in the Spirit. And concept number 5, how to witness in the Spirit. The second problem we wish to discuss in this concept, explaining to you how you can introduce others to Christ. We will discuss first why we should witness, which relates to motives, and second, how we should witness, which relates to methods or mechanics. First, why should we witness? Let me give you briefly 6 good reasons. First, we should witness because the love of Christ constrains us. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Having experienced the love and forgiveness of God in his own life, he wanted everyone to experience the same love. If you really love Christ, you will also want to introduce him to others. Second, we should witness because Christ has given the command. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Third, we should witness because men without Christ are lost. Jesus stated in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The Word declares emphatically in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "There is salvation in no one else. Under all heaven there is no other name for men to call upon to save them." Fourth, we should witness because of the benefits that come to those who receive Christ. When we introduce others to the Savior, they become sons of God. Their bodies become temples of God. All their sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. They begin to experience the peace of God. They receive God's direction or purpose for their lives, and they experience the power of God to change their lives. Fifth, we should witness because of the benefits that come to those who witness. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 34 through 36, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God." In this passage, reference is made to his experience of witnessing to the Samaritan woman. Witnessing leads us to pray and to study God's Word and forces us, as we walk in the Spirit, to depend upon the Lord Jesus. As we witness in the power of the Holy Spirit, we sow love and joy and peace. According to the law of sowing and reaping, we always harvest what we sow and more than we sow. For example, if we sow love, we always harvest love, but always much more love than we sow. Sixth, we should witness because it is a tremendous privilege. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote as stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, "We are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you. Receive the love he offers you. Be reconciled to God." Most people would consider it a high honor to serve as an ambassador for the head of their country, the president or king. But as believers in Christ, we are ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Seventh, we should witness because the Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses." Not to witness for Christ is to deny the Holy Spirit his right to empower and to use us to introduce others to the Savior. It is appropriate to remind ourselves again and again that materials, methods, techniques, and strategies are of no value whatever apart from the enabling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now, I would like to discuss, secondly, how we should witness. Basically, we witness in two ways, by the way we live and by the words we speak, by our lives and with our lips. But one can live a good, moral, ethical, religious life that includes Bible study and prayer and still live a life of disobedience by failing to fulfill our Lord's command to speak with our lips. We're specifically commanded to speak the good news with our lips, and it is that aspect of witnessing that we shall discuss. But before you can introduce others to Christ, you must be sure that you're a Christian yourself. This is discussed in concept number one. Then as a Christian, you must know the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as I've already mentioned, this is covered in concepts 2, 3, 4, and 5. There are two more concepts that are directly related to introducing others to Christ as a way of life. The first is concept number 9, how to pray. You should begin every day with prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to lead you to those whose hearts He has prepared. Assume that wherever you're alone with another person for more than a few moments, it is a divine appointment and an answer to your prayer. It is best, of course, to present Christ to those of your own sex. But if God obviously directs you to witness to someone of the opposite sex, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He will direct you as you seek Him in prayer. It is a good practice to talk to God about men before you talk to men about God. The second is concept number 8, how to love by faith. It is extremely important to relate to people in a loving, natural, and personal way. Avoid being mechanical. Everyone responds to love. By faith, love with God's love everyone to whom you speak. As you walk in love, the Spirit of God will confirm to those with whom you are sharing Christ that you're genuine and authentic, that you're not simply trying to win an argument or promote a cause, and that you have taken time to talk to them because you truly love them with God's love. Now, with all these things in mind, let me give you some simple suggestions concerning how you can use the Four Spiritual Laws booklet effectively. There are many benefits from using a presentation such as the Four Spiritual Laws. Let me list some of them. It enables you to open your conversation easily. It begins with a positive statement. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Can you think of a better way to begin? It presents the gospel and the claims of Christ clearly and simply. It gives you confidence in your witnessing because you know what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. It enables you to be prepared at all times and stick to the subject without getting off on tangents. It makes it possible for you to be brief and to the point. It offers suggestions for growth, including the importance of the church. And, most importantly, it is a transferable technique whereby those whom you lead to Christ can be encouraged to lead others to Christ also. Many Christians are effective in their own personal ministries, but are unable to communicate their technique to their spiritual children so that they can communicate it to their spiritual children generation after generation. Yet this is the very thing Paul exhorted Timothy, his young son in the faith, to do, as stated in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. For you must teach others those things you and many others have heard me speak about. Teach these great truths to trustworthy men who will in turn pass them on to others. The Four Spiritual Laws is such a simple, transferable technique that it enables those who receive Christ to go immediately to their friends and their loved ones and tell them what they have done, and it enables them to show those friends and loved ones how they can make the same commitment to Christ. But even with a tested and trusted tool in our hands, one of the most difficult things in witnessing is just getting started. One of the most effective ways of establishing contact after a cordial, friendly greeting is to say to a person, "Have you heard of the Four Spiritual Laws?" This little booklet is one of the most widely read books in the world, approximately 50 million in the major languages of the world. You can say the contents of this booklet changed my life, or has been used to change the lives of thousands, or contains truths which I believe will be of great interest to you. And I'd like for you to read it and give me your impression. Or you could say, recently a friend of mine gave me a little booklet which really makes sense to me, and I'd like to share it with you. Have you heard of the four spiritual laws? Or, I would like to share a booklet that has really meant a lot to me. Almost everyone I've shared it with has said that it has meant a lot to them. Have you heard of the four spiritual laws? This direct approach can best be employed when you have only a few moments with an individual. If you have a more unhurried opportunity, you may find it helpful to take a few minutes to establish rapport by sharing a few things of personal interest about yourself or asking your friend questions about himself, his business, his profession, or family. Then you proceed to explain that you're a Christian and have discovered a remarkable little booklet that has been a great help to you and that you'd like to share it with him. Then you ask the question, have you heard of the four spiritual laws? As you prayerfully depend on the Holy Spirit, He will give you wisdom in making the transition. Such a straightforward and direct presentation may not be effective if God has not already prepared the person's heart. Remember, multitudes of people have been prepared by the Holy Spirit to receive Christ right now. However, when you meet individuals whose hearts are not prepared, there are several things you can do. You give them special literature to read and encourage them to read the New Testament, particularly the book of John. Pray for them, and whenever possible, arrange to meet with them for another appointment. In making the presentation, be casual, friendly, warm. Speak with confidence. Do not try to impress people with your brilliance. When you share the four spiritual laws, do not elaborate with personal illustrations unduly. These often confuse the one to whom you're speaking. Simply read the booklet. Generally, it is wise for the one who is doing the witnessing to read aloud from the booklet, holding it at an angle so that the one with whom the four spiritual laws are being shared can read the words easily. It is also helpful to use a pencil or something similar to point to the lines and the words being read to ensure better concentration. There will be times when the Holy Spirit will lead you to stop and explain something which may be unclear. Normally, however, it is more effective to read through the booklet first. If the person to whom you're witnessing raises questions, you should say, "Let's remember that question and come back to it in a moment. But first, let's finish reading the booklet." Of course, you must later be sure to answer those questions. Generally, you'll find that most people agree with the first three laws and are not likely to ask many questions. Thus, you can proceed to Law 4 with confidence in most witnessing experiences. The material contained on pages 8 and 9 in the booklet will help you to determine whether or not a person is ready to receive Christ. You will observe two circles, one representing the self-control life, the other the Christ-control life. Ask the questions in the booklet, which circle represents your life? Then ask, which circle would you like to have represent your life? In most cases, the one with whom you're sharing will answer the first question with the circle on the left, and the second question with the circle on the right. The next crucial point in sharing Christ is to help those who want to receive Him as their Savior to know exactly what to do. As you continue to read from the booklet, explain how one can receive Christ through prayer. Now read the prayer aloud and ask, does this prayer express the desire of your heart? If the answer is yes, say, you can pray this prayer right now if you really mean it, and Christ will come into your life as He promised. Then pause for prayer with the suggestion that if they will pray aloud, you can pray with them. If there's a long silence, you may suggest that the individual pray after you. Be sensitive. Do not offend by forcing the prayer. He may wish to pray his own prayer rather than the suggested prayer. Should the individual wish to pray silently, simply suggest that he say Amen when finished. And at this point, you pray. If there is no commitment after you read the booklet through the first time to this point, exercise caution to avoid offending the one with whom you're sharing Christ. Do not try to badger, argue, or high-pressure him into making a decision for Christ. Jesus said, as stated in John chapter 6, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The most important thing is not what you do, but what the Holy Spirit does through you. You and I do not have the ability to bring anyone to Christ. Remember, success in witnessing for Christ is simply sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. However, there are several additional things that you can do to help the individual who does not pray to receive Christ after you've read and discussed the booklet together up to the point of the prayer. First, always maintain a positive and loving attitude. You can say, "Let me show you what will happen to you when you do invite Christ to come into your life at some later date." Then proceed to explain the assurance of salvation by reading the rest of the booklet. If the response is positive, give the person another opportunity to receive Christ in prayer. You will find that many will be ready to pray by the time you've read the entire booklet. Some will want to pray then, while others may wish to pray at a later time after they better understand what is involved in receiving Christ. Be sure to leave the individual with the understanding that this is a decision he will want to make someday, and that he may even want to reread the booklet later that day and receive Christ on his own. Suggest that he pray before he goes to bed that night, and that he call you as soon as he does so. Many pray to receive Christ alone after the interview is over. There are two other things that you might find helpful. You could share your own personal testimony, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, give another opportunity to pray to receive Christ, or it may be helpful to simply review the booklet, explaining it clearly one law at a time and asking after the presentation of each law, "Does this make sense?" Another important consideration in sharing Christ with others is the necessity of leading the new Christian to full assurance of faith in Christ. All the material in the booklet following the prayer is specifically designed to aid you in helping the new Christian to be sure he is a Christian. After an individual is prayed, ask, "Did you receive Christ into your life?" According to God's promise contained in Revelation 3:20, where is Christ right now in relation to you? If the reply is, "Well, he's in the world," or "he's in heaven," ask the question again, emphasizing, "But where is he in relation to you?" Explain that according to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Christ said he would come into our lives. Ask, would he mislead you? On what authority do you know that God has answered your prayer? Then explain that our authority is the trustworthiness of God himself and his word. Now together read 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Emphasize that we can know we have eternal life on the basis of those promises from God's divinely inspired word. Always explain the importance of faith. Review and explain the meaning of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Warn against the danger of depending upon feelings. One of Satan's great lies is that you have to have some kind of an emotional experience when you receive Christ. We are to live by faith, as illustrated by the train diagram on page 12 of the booklet. The locomotive represents the fact of God and his word. The coal car represents faith, which is our confidence in God and his word. And the caboose represents feelings, which are the byproduct of faith in God and his word. The train will run without the caboose, but we would not attempt to pull the train with the caboose. Neither is the Christian life lived according to feelings, but according to faith in God and his word. Study this truth carefully and always make it clear to the person to whom you're talking. Also, read and explain briefly and clearly the four wonderful things that have happened to the new Christian as listed on page 13 of the booklet. When the individual is assured on the basis of God's word that Christ is in his life, suggest that each of you pray aloud, thanking God for what he has done. The very act of thanking God demonstrates faith and often cements the assurance of salvation. Proper follow-up of the new Christian cannot be overemphasized. You should secure the name and address of each individual with whom you pray. That can be done tactfully and without offense if you give the person your name and address first. then arranged to meet with the new Christian for spiritual counsel and follow-up not more than 48 hours later, the very next day if possible. In any event, send the name and address to the follow-up department, Arrowhead Springs, San Bernardino, California. We want to help every new convert to become mature in Christ. Our follow-up program includes a series of Bible study letters and other materials which emphasize how to be sure you're a Christian, the importance of reading and studying the Bible, prayer, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the importance of baptism, and actively serving Christ through the local church, the importance of witnessing, and a number of other important truths which every new Christian should know. Campus Crusade for Christ wants to serve you and the entire body of Christ, not only by helping to train you to share your faith more effectively, but also by helping train and build up those whom you introduce to Christ. In addition to the Four Spiritual Laws booklet, a wealth of other material is available to assist you in your Christian growth and witness for Christ. Witnessing as a way of life requires training as a way of life. If the secular world depends upon a continuous training program to promote greater sales of a secular product, how much more important that Christians should participate in a continuous training program through the local church? We want to help you. Training in the most effective use of these practical tools is available at Arrowhead Springs and in hundreds of student, lay, pastors, and military institutes for evangelism across America and in most major countries of the world. For additional information, write to Campus Crusade for Christ International, Arrowhead Springs, San Bernardino, California, zip code 92404. This further word of challenge. For the next 30 days, I challenge you to perform an experiment. Each day, ask God to lead you to someone whose heart has been prepared for your witness. Go prayerfully and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and as the Apostle Paul did, talk about Christ to everyone who will listen. Present the gospel as contained in the Four Spiritual Laws. Expect God to use you. At the end of 30 days, I am sure that you will be convinced, as multitudes of others have been before you, that there is no greater adventure in life than introducing others to our Savior. A young man had just prayed with me to receive Christ. "You must bring a lot of happiness into this world," he said. Joy and gratitude sparkled in his eyes as he told me that for some time he and his wife had been looking for God, and now that he had found Him, his joy knew no bounds. I'd used the Four Spiritual Laws booklet to introduce him to Christ, and he was eager now to take the booklet home with him so that he could in turn introduce his wife to Christ. The words of this joyful new Christian have come to my mind again and again, as I've seen the effectiveness of other people, as they have introduced many to Christ through the use of the Four Spiritual Laws. The meaning of these words are multiplied many times, and they can be multiplied through you and your witness for Christ. The next morning, I awakened with the thought that I should challenge Christians all over the world to give of their time, talent, and treasure to introduce others to Christ. What better way to bring happiness into this world? Remember, as you introduce others to Christ, you can bring a lot of happiness into this world. Would you join with me in giving thanks for the privilege we have of bringing a lot of happiness into this world through introducing others to Christ? Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name and how holy and wonderful are your ways. We praise you that through no merit of our own, you have chosen and ordained us to be your ambassadors. Now may every person within the sound of my voice stand at attention and say to Christ, "Lord, use me to help introduce others to Christ as a way of life." We ask this in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.